Join us, weary traveler, as we take a look at the first release gameplay of Elden Ring today on the Digital Bath Podcast.
The phone
Why did it turn into like central?
Ring.
Tarnished. It's the Digital Bath Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about the first release gameplay of Elden Ring.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Elden Ring.
With me today, as always, the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, Jesse, Chris, Nick.
Hello.
Dakota.
Hey, that was kind of cool. So, if you've never listened before, there's no way that you found this without listening to this before. So let's Could just be. Dive into it. Gentlemen, what are we drinking?
Water.
Yeah.
Water.
So I got three sleepy boys here with me. They were hard at work all of yesterday doing...
It's all weird way to... It's a weird that's sentence true, though.
I got three sleepy boys here with
true,
me.
That's true, though.
They were...
Dial one to
they were
get
doing
a
it for
Mexican
the kids
one.
To get a Mexican one.
Yeah.
It's dial like a, two through yeah. the rest of the numbers to get a white.
A white.
White.
They were hard at work... getting money for the kids, so annual Extra Life, they kept the torch going. I was unable for the first time in a while, unfortunately, to take part, but how much money did you guys raise?
Let's see here, let me pull it up, because we do have some people that are going to be giving us some money a little bit later when they get paid, because you can donate at any point in time. You don't necessarily have to donate during the event.
Yeah, one of the best things about Extra Life is while there are coordinated events, you can literally do an Extra Life event whenever you want. Their page is very accessible. It's very user-friendly for us. You know, we are millennials, but, you know, some of that stuff still can get kind of complicated, but they have a lot of great social media tools that you can use. So do one right now.
Just do it.
Just fucking do it.
Turn on how your Xbox and start making money for the kids.
Did you get it pulled up?
$729.
Yay. That's awesome.
Yep. Last year we did it. We raised almost $1,500. It was like $1,400
yeah,
that we
raised. Almost enough to where I was going to have to shave my beard.
Yes.
So close.
And
thank goodness.
Yes. Or last year we did a whole event. I mean, we did. We had planned events, planned games, planned tournaments. We had a rock band concert. We Twitch streamed everything. It was a lot of fun. This year, we didn't have as much to go off of because I had to work half of the day. Dakota had to work all day. We didn't have as much planned, but still really happy that we raised the $729 we did. Now, saying that, I think there's a few people that owe some money, and when they get paid it, they're going to be throwing it towards that. So,
or we'll break your kneecaps.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it updated because we might still hit our $1,000 goal that
awesome.
We set.
We'll keep you guys posted on that. So we're going to do our best Vati Vidya impersonation here. I think it would be a great idea for Jesse and Nick to kind of lead us through. I am a... I don't want to say casual fan. I'm a very supportive FromSoft fan that... has only made it through
core.
Two of the huh?
It's only because of Armored Core. Don't lie to us.
I love Armored Core, but I've only made it through two Souls games completely. So it's just I try. I've yet to touch Sekiro, but I am extremely, extremely excited for Elden Ring.
And if you don't quite know what he's talking about, From Software is the developer who has made all of the Dark Souls and Bloodborne games.
And Armored Core games.
And Armored Core.
Yeah, yeah. You're forgetting Armored Core.
Hey, yeah, and all those.
What?
Kingsfield?
Yeah.
Original
that,
PlayStation.
That game that Chris played.
Yep. And Otogi. I've got
great.
Several.
Otogi, Lord of the
Demons.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Most of you out there are going to know it for Bloodborne or Dark Souls. So, this
Armored
is
Core.
The new
Sound
game from that same developer. So, we're just super excited about it. And it's been in the works for years. And it's got, who was it? J.R.R. Martin?
George Martin.
Yeah, George.
Did you say
Martin.
Tolkien and you said J.R. Martin?
Well, because he said J.R.R. So
yeah,
I was
it's
like,
so Tolkien. Yeah.
My brain.
They yeah. got J.R.
George R.
They brought
Martin.
Him back from the dead.
Who writes the, of course, very, very, very famous Game
Fire
of Thrones
Ice.
Novels. Yes. And he's
and that's it.
Leading the he's leading the story with this game. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, it's something where to people that aren't familiar with how the Soulsborne stuff works, that maybe it was like, okay, that's cool. This is probably going to be the most narratively driven of the games.
Maybe.
Because, sure.
Maybe.
But
Sekiro had a lot of narrative to it. A lot more than I expected.
More than the other games.
Yeah. So, the series is kind of built on discovering the lore through the items and just through connecting the dots of where enemies may be placed in the map and just how things are set. So we're hoping, I think is what Jesse's getting at, we're hoping for with Martin's, with his, what am I trying to say?
Creative background?
Yeah, creative. Yeah, with his creative input on this, that we may see a more narrative-driven story.
Yeah, making a dark fantasy universe seems right up his alley, and that's essentially what Dark Souls is a dark fantasy. So I'm pretty excited. I think we'll probably get a lot more in-game moments, maybe, that are written by him, described by him, and I wouldn't expect more cutscenes, not like a Kojima game by any means.
No.
But Sekiro was pretty heavy-handed on the story for the most part for that type of game, so I imagine we'll get something similar. But open world this time. Pretty crazy for a Souls-like game.
Yeah, what jumped out at you guys first when you saw the gameplay?
I mean... It was pretty amazing to see how grand of scale it was, especially if that's what it initially starts off at, because you kind of come across this big, not cliff, but this giant hill that you come on top of, and then you just see far, far, far off into the expanse.
The Assassin's Creed intro is what I like to call it. Yep. Assassin's Creed will do the same where they're like, look how long this shit goes.
And then you're like, hey, let me summon my deer that I'm going to ride on and off into the valleys.
That can climb cliffs fucking no one's business.
Yeah, it looks great. And of course, the graphics look phenomenal. They always
especially
do a great
job. Especially for an Xbox One PS4 game.
It'll
get up-res, but I mean, that's built from the ground up for last gen.
Yep.
Cyberpunk. Sorry.
Careful. Let's wait till the game's out.
We won't talk about that. And then the other thing is, one of the big things about Dark Souls and Bloodborne, yes, Chris, I talk with my hands. Do you have a problem with that?
Yeah,
you know he has
do.
A problem
okay.
with that.
Well, you're going to start bouncing, you're going to get excited, and you're going to start bouncing, and I was just nipping in the bud and showing you.
Okay.
Do you have a problem today? You seem a little poopy. Can you bring it down a little bit?
Coming from a guy that shits a lot.
And you go, yeah, there's other games too. Everybody else got to say the games they like.
He's the one that did that.
He did it too.
Oh, okay.
He cut me off.
Anyway,
I'll support both of you in this.
I noticed that with the other Dark Souls and Bloodborne games, enemies are where they're at all the time, right? The whole purpose of it is to go to a bonfire or a lantern
for the most part.
Yeah, you learn the level and all that kind of stuff.
Mega Man all over again.
This one seems like nothing's really on a singular track.
Yes.
They're literally just roaming in the plains, and you could come across something at any point in time.
So so one of the things when open world started to really become a big thing, like GTA 3, what's up?
You're talking up here.
Oh, okay.
It was like low in the green. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
One of the big things when open world games first started was the term sandbox, right? So, GTA 3 really started that, and it was kind of like, what weird shit can I do to make unique interactions happen? So, and I feel like by the time we got to Assassin's Creed, it became very, everything was on rails, so there was less of the how do I experiment in that?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this is kind of bringing back that sandbox, right? Like, you're saying there's stuff moving around. How do I take enemies from this area and maybe lead them over here? Help me get this treasure trove. And I think there's going to be a lot of cool playthroughs and just videos that come out of it. A lot of highlight reel shit for a long time of people just doing like weird interactions that we haven't been able to see before, because the Souls games have been kind of more linear.
Yep.
What stuck out to me is that it feels like they're, I think, going to do a better job about making magic and swordplay playable in one character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it felt like in the Souls games, like, you pick magic, you're a suck ass at most everything else, and if you're specking into strength and stamina, your magic abilities really, really suffer. So when you were fighting the dragon in the preview there, he was like casting spells really quickly and then was switching back to like this kind of long blade sword. So it was really cool to see combination of gameplay, and I think classes are going to play a much bigger role in this game than the Souls games.
Yeah, there's a correct. I might be saying wrong, but I think they're called alignments or something like that, or attunements or something that you equip to your weapon. So like I, during one of the gameplay videos I watched from Kind of Funny Games, shout out to them, was they had like a great sword, and then you kind of put it up like
Lionel.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And
the Thundercats.
Like Link too. And the lightning came down. So, and that was just what was equipped. And then later he found this ability to, have these four floating blades around him, like magical swords, mm-hmm. and then they would auto-target enemies. So that kind of gives off like a Castlevania vibe, you know, from the mm-hmm. games where you could pick up drops from them. And
pop
then,
it.
And then also when you pop summon it. Enemies, do it.
Yeah. Nice.
How do you think that that will like kind of change up the gameplay for you guys? Because, I mean, you guys have played through some of them, you know, a half a dozen times at least. So
at least,
what do you think that'll do for your gameplay?
It just makes a more unique experience, I think. Kind of like what the difference between Oblivion and Skyrim for me.
Yeah.
Like Oblivion, it was very, you kind of went on your path. If you chose you wanted to be light armor and this and this and that, you kind of stuck with that. You could dabble in the other ones, but it wasn't a, you just weren't as strong in those.
It wasn't really a hybrid.
Yeah, it wasn't a hybrid. Yeah. To where Skyrim, you're like, man, anything I want to do, I can just level that up, and that's what I am. So it kind of seems like that's what they're going towards in this. If I just want to be strictly pure
sword
I'm
and
gonna,
board.
Yep, I'm gonna go in as a tank and just sword. Would you say sword and board?
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, sword and board. Great. Or you know what? I could be a magic user, or I can be both. I'm just gonna do it all.
I could be both.
And you know, it, that might need to happen because of the way that they do this time. You know, and so some of the gameplay I saw in one of the commentators made sense. He's like, I think they're gonna make you use magic at least a little bit this time around. So, and I'm glad they brought back where you can choose your Estus flask loadout versus more, mm-hmm. you know, refilling your magic versus your health. So,
yeah.
The difference in this game is that when you pick in Dark Souls, you kind of go one path and it's going to lead you that way. In this game, they have map fragments that you actually have to explore dungeons to find. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see which people get certain map
fragments
first.
There you go, buddy.
Whew.
You guys need
and,
some sleep.
I know.
Yeah.
And which boss that takes you to, because that's kind of the thing about the Soul series is, for the most part, it's you're going to run into the same cycle of bosses as someone else would.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there might be a variety of gameplay for this one. I'm super stoked for it.
There's mini bosses this time, so like mini dungeons and stuff that you can do. And you can fast travel to... what are they called? Like Shards of Hope or something this time? I don't remember what it is. They're bonfires,
something
basically.
Like yeah,
you can fast travel to them even when you're not at one. Mm-hmm. So like they're really trying to open up the map to you.
Yeah.
Open it up.
Chris, what you said you hadn't seen any of it,
no,
right?
But from hearing what you guys are saying, like the only thing I would be concerned about is they haven't really done an open world game
right
for a long time.
Right.
Little game called Otogi, like I was talking about earlier. No, but seriously, like my concern is that, you know, they studios sometimes bite off more than they can chew, and they end up being like, eh, sorry.
Yeah.
We'll go back to making Dark Souls now or Bloodborne 2.
Yeah.
Don't look at Elden
That'll
Ring.
Sell money. Sell money.
That will sell money, baby.
Money.
Yeah. The guts of it look like a Souls game.
Sure.
You know, like the interactions, the combat, the parrying, all of that looks like the same stuff on the inside that we're used to. It's just... You know, you hear about open world Souls, right? You're like, okay, I could see that. But it's once you see it implemented where you're like, oh, this is exciting. Mm-hmm. So you're 100% right. Like, this could be bad for them. But I think between, like, the map fragments Jesse was talking about, I feel like they're still maybe making it a little bit more close encounter. But, it, like, the roaming treasure trove. You know, mm-hmm. and then if this sounds casual to you, don't worry. There is a boss in the press release version of it that's come out that still just one hits people. And this guy, I watched him, he like tried to refight it 30 times. He's like, okay, I just can't beat this right now. So he finally moved on and he went and grabbed an enemy from a different area and strung it all the way over to it. And then it killed that guy in one hit. He's like, yeah, I think I have to give up.
No hope for me here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see what the grind is going to look like in this one. Because the grind in the other FromSoft games were a little bit different depending on which one you were playing, but you would either for Bloodborne, you would farm blood vials, you know, and that you could have 20 of those things on you at all times. And, you know, the more of them that you farm, they went into your inventory back at the Hunter's Dream, and then they would just refill every time you died. And that was what a lot of people farmed, were those. And then, of course, the Blood Echoes, so you could level up your character. I'm interested to see how that grind is going to work in this particular game, and how it's going to be a little different than the rest, how the level up system is going to look.
I do have a question.
Yes.
Do we know if the lead designer is the same as?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's important.
Miyazaki.
Wasn't it Dark Souls 2 where there was a different guy that kind of like led the project for a while, and they were like, oh, this is kind of okay, it's a little different. Is it Dark Souls 2 that a lot of people are like, oh, this is a different game than 1 and 3?
It's yes. Baby Souls.
Yeah, yes. That's what I was saying. Yeah. Like
I feel like 2 was like when it was out, people loved it. And then once like the next one came out, people looked back at it and they're like, eh.
You said the revamp editions made it a lot harder, and it was really fun.
What was that one called? Like
Scholar of the First Sin.
Yeah. So,
well, speaking of Baby Souls, this is supposedly going to have like a quote unquote casual mode or easy mode to it, from what they've been talking about. So you're gonna have your normal mode, which is gonna be your, you know, balls to the wall hardcore Souls type game.
Like that rock killed me.
Yep. And then apparently they're going to have, I don't know if they're going to call it easy mode or what, but
baby,
it's going to be in
baby mode.
Yeah. Little baby bitch ring. Mode, little bitch mode.
Look, I think when it comes to you buying a game that you should have your cake and eat it too. You know what I mean? Like
I love cake.
If you're great. Spending $60 to $70 on an experience, I think you should be able to play it how you want.
Oh, I agree. Am I gonna play
baby mode? No.
Right.
I would rather just get frustrated. You know, Metroid Dread, when I play that, there were plenty of times where I did the breathing out my nose a couple times, setting the game down. I was in a car, I couldn't go anywhere. So it was Amanda's like, die again. I was like, mm-hmm. And then you jump back in, or we make a stop. You know, I eat me like a zebra cake or something, come back, and then I finally make that boss my bitch.
You just need a little sugar.
But that's what I want, right, from that kind of game. So if that's what people want, we know it's going to be there. If they make a casual mode, that's fine.
I agree.
Me personally,
I make fun of it, you know. But I'm not serious. Like
good mode.
What could this do though to bring new people in who just don't play those other games because they can't handle the difficulty of the game. You know, so now people are like, okay, I'm going to try Elden Ring. I'm going to try this type of game because there's an easier mode now. Maybe I can get through it. They start to love it. Then they're like, maybe I will go back and try the harder mode. Maybe I will go back and try Dark Souls 1, Bloodborne, any of those. So mm-hmm. I think it brings a whole new element to their franchise and hopefully a whole new consumer.
Maybe it'll just be kind of like Jedi Fallen Order, you know, because, I mean, that was not as hard as a Souls game, but it definitely took inspiration from Souls, so maybe it'll just, the enemies won't hit as hard or something.
The hard mode in that was fairly difficult.
Because even Minecraft, like, you die, you lose your shit, so who knows?
Yeah.
Jesse, what are you hoping to get from this game?
More Souls.
So even if another Souls experience,
I wouldn't give a shit. Yeah, I love that series, so could make it about killing puppies,
Have you platinumed?
No, I've not platinumed Dark Souls 1 or Demon Souls.
Okay. I've done it with 3 and I've done it with Bloodborne, but I haven't done it with the rest of them. So
Sekiro is considered by many people to be the hardest one, right?
It's just not like a Souls game in a lot of ways that I almost want to classify it as a different game, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it closer to like a Neo or a or a Ninja Gaiden?
Yes. With Souls aspects that like my brain is fucked up when I play it. I'm like, "Oh yeah, I can't do that. I have to parry everything." I can't block. It really fucks with you if you've played all the Souls games.
Yeah, and this one, you know, cuz each game kind of adds a new little tweak to either the parry system or the dodge system, right? And so in this one I noticed there's an emphasis on the parry into like a heavy like a counter move almost. So I was seeing that there were some enemies that like you could barely do any normal damage, but if you did the parry into counter move, it was doing like massive damage.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like a Bloodborne feature? Isn't that something that you could do a lot in that? If you parried perfectly, you could do a big hit on most of the...
Most of them have a parry system.
Yeah.
What was it called? A visceral attack in Bloodborne, I think that it was called?
Yeah, you had to shoot them with your gun.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, so the character...
Stun him!
Yeah, the character I saw, he had like a big sword, and there was like a different animation, and just like would swing it down like full circle, like windmill into them when they did the parry move. So.
Yeah, looked
one
dope.
Of them monster hunter
Oh,
moves.
Yeah, actually, it kind of did kinda, look like yeah. that. So this game is going to have multiplayer. So, yep, absolutely. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun to run around and do that stuff. You know, more details to come on that, but be excited for us to play together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a great time playing Dark Souls 3 together.
Yeah, we did some goofy shit.
Yeah, we did.
And I just...
There's got to be an arena somewhere on that map.
Oh, that was
great. My two biggest memories is Jesse and I literally spent like a day online just like doing duo combat against other people that would show up. And then that time where towards the end of the game, you guys had those two fucking swords that shot like the wind blast.
Oh, the giant.
And you guys were just being like silly as shit. And yeah. I was just following as you were like...
I loved you had the little rocks and you broke them and they would be like, thank you.
Or, hello.
Hello. Very good. Oh, I love doing that. Especially when I was going up against other people. That would piss them off so much. Yeah. They would miss me and I would throw very good.
Yeah.
Rude.
Dark Soul, the Soul series on the outside, you know, it's this dark brooding. Dark fantasy, which it is, but like when you introduce a community around it, it's a fun time. It's goofy. So I did see recently though that the game did get pushed back
like another month.
March, okay, that's not too bad.
Something like that.
We're getting a beta I think this month in November.
Did we have to sign up for it?
No.
I know.
Okay,
definitely trying that out.
Well, anything else on Elden Ring, guys?
It almost hinted like there would be some mounts that you could fly on at some point.
Ooh.
There is a severe verticality to it, and that's why the fall damage has been nerfed a lot, because they want you to be able to traverse easily.
Yep. So I think flying mounts would be cool, especially with that landscape that you've seen. I don't know how... If you go to like other quote unquote realms or whatever, because it kind of seems like you're going to be doing something like that. But whatever that life tree is
that
called.
That first area is just the first area. Yeah, and there's people that have spent like 90 hours in that first area. Geez.
Celtic inspired, by the way. I don't think we ever said that. But
no,
that
yes, not. Yggdrasil's in the middle.
Yeah,
so.
Giant
that's,
life tree.
Thank you. Yggdrasil.
Yeah, Idris Elba's in this game.
So I'm in.
he's a giant tree.
He's just DJing at the top, like,
what's up, everybody? Come join my party.
Oh, God. You're going to.
And on that note, we're looking forward to Elden Ring.
Absolutely, guys. So thank you for listening to our first reaction. You know, we'll be bringing you more when it comes out. This is the Digital Bath Podcast, signing out.